This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number three of a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, Sirius XM Channel 158. It's Gil Alexander, Matt Brown in for Kelly Bidlin, who's on assignment this week somewhere in Nashville, Tennessee. Matt, were you invited to play on the VSiN flag football team?
I was not.
You were not?
No.
Would you have accepted?
I think maybe I've crossed the age threshold.
For football?
For them to invite me, even.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
It's kind of like, I think it's for the...
For the kids.
For the younger ones.
For the youngins.
They want to be able to, like, make references and me not go, like, I don't know what you're talking about. Like, you know?
That's right.
They're going to reference TikTok thing they saw on the TikToks, and I'm going to be like, I don't.
I'm not familiar with the TikTok.
I don't do the TikToks.
We get tweets being in the book. Johnny Brock, you were close, Wes Reynolds, but it's... revved up like a deuce, not wrapped up. Tough line all around. Talking about the blinded by the light. Carnarcy Born 65. Gil, I guess or make up words and songs all the time when singing to my car, but I always said Sharif don't like it. Rock the Casbah. I'm stunned I was right. Good for you, man. Kevin Ryan, wait a minute, Gil. I thought you said Kelly was on assignment. Now you say he's actually on vacation. Now I'm back to saying he's on assignment. I was hoping he was on assignment would bring back valuable tidbits like his pro tip commercial telling us getting -2.5 is better than laying 3.5. That's right. Did you do a pro tip? Did you get on there?
I don't get invited to. I do much, Gil.
So I gotta stop asking you questions.
No.
Everything. You're not invited to anything.
Assume no. Okay. Yeah, just assume no moving forward with all of these things.
Sorry about that. Let's do it awards.
I do, in fact, work here. The show's on the weekend.
Ready, set, bet. Yeah, Matt Brown.
It is on the weekend.
Yeah. It's called Long Shots. That's the name of the podcast, Long Shots. Matt Brown does as well. All right, let's do a Major League Baseball, just do MVP and Cy Young award heat check. Let's start with the easy ones. Let me start with the easy ones, guys. AL MVP. Actually, there's only one easy one now. The rest of them are, well, there's two easy ones. AL MVP, Yordan Alvarez, leads the American League with a .321 batting average. 36 home runs, leads the AL. 88 ribbies, leads the AL. 436 OBP, leads the AL. 622 slugging. Leads the American League. 142 hits, 82 runs. That one's tied with Miguel Vargas, Chicago White Sox. By the way, those stats were before last night's game because the Astros did play Sunday Night Baseball, so don't hold me to those. But all those heading into last night, he led the American League in. In other words, the Triple Crown stats. Plus, that is why he's -1200. And with 6 weeks left in the season, I would imagine all those say, well, he's going to get injured at some point. Even if he got hurt in like 2-3 weeks from now, he's winning this thing.
Yes? I gave it even less of a runway than that. I'm like, if he can play 10 more games.
Yeah, I think you're right.
It's like, if he can play 10 more games, it puts him at 133. And he would have put up enough production that most of these people can't catch him anyway. Right? I mean, like, and he would have done it in 133 games.
It's amazing. It was just a short while ago, a few weeks ago, where he was short plus money and then short minus money. And I got some pushback on him. I'm just like, he's winning every category. Mm-hmm. Why is this even a thing? He's going to get hurt. Like, that's not a reason not to bet.
It's exactly. The assumption of injury, and we get wrapped up in this in football too, like way too much. It's like the assumption of injury is kind of like, guys, but if not, then your handicap is like absolutely blown out the window to begin with.
Here's the other one that's easy peasy. And again, apologies to Chris Sale, Christopher Sanchez, and all these guys having great seasons. Mm-hmm. But talking about leading, forget the National League. These all lead Major League Baseball with Jacob Mizorowski of the Brewers. 1.75 ERA leads the majors. A 150 batting average against. Is that good? 0.75 whip. He's given up 73 hits all year. All these number one in Major League Baseball, by the way. 27 earned runs allowed, 210 Ks, 39.8% K rate, 5.3 WAR. All of those number one in MLB. I am sorry, Mr. Sale and Mr. Sanchez.
Right.
The Miz at -750. It might not be high enough.
He doesn't, if he doesn't exist, it's a hell of a race, and like we're debating, you know, Sale and Sanchez probably till the very end. Unfortunately, the Miz does exist, and it's game over. I mean, it's game over.
Tom Tango numbers, again, he's picked correctly 32 out of the last 38 Cy Young winners with his final numbers. 75.5 points for the Miz, 66.9 for Sanchez. It's not close. You may be surprised when we get to the AL side. Let's start with the NL MVP, because this has gotten interesting. And I'm going to say the same thing today that I said last week, Matt, which is I think if these guys have an excuse not to give it to Shohei, they may just take that excuse. Pete Crow Armstrong, slash line, 276, 374, 533. Shohei slash, a little above all those, 289, 389, 542. But Pete Crow Armstrong has one more homer than Shohei. They have the exact same number of RBI.
He's stolen about 30 bags.
He stole 30 bags to Shohei's seven. Yeah. So there's a big PCA win. And Shohei stopped pitching on July 3rd. He did have, listen, 85 and two-thirds innings where he was 8-2 with a 1.79 ERA and 95 Ks. That's awesome. He's expected to return to the pitching mound for the Dodgers early September, pending any setbacks. He's been sidelined again since July 3rd due to left knee inflammation and right biceps tightness. I think the pitching still happened, right? I'm not saying it didn't, and it was really good. But I just believe they're these human beings who are voting, and they are human beings that's just in, because you have to stipulate that now. I just think if they have any excuse to give it to give one of these years to give it to somebody else but Shohei, they will take that opportunity, and I think this might be the year.
It was the perfect it is the perfect opportunity. You and I've had this conversation over the last few years. As long as Shohei was doing what Shohei was doing, he was going to win it every single year. It's just we've never seen anyone in our era come close to doing what he's doing and doing it at such an incredible level. The fact that he hasn't pitched in so long, I did say this to you on the break. If he comes back for like three starts or two fantastic starts to go along with what he did, at the beginning of the year, that might give the people just enough ammunition to say, like, okay.
You might be right on that.
But we're human. And, like, there is fatigue, and voter fatigue is a real thing. I do believe that some of these people will look at this and say, well, he's going to win it next year.
That's
he's
going to
win it the year after that.
Are we going to give him 15 of these?
Yeah. Or it's the honorary award and then everyone else gets something else.
It's not like our golf, market without Schefflers.
Yeah.
We don't have that with these voting situations.
It's like we're going to have to invent our own offensive player of the year because we can give it to a running back or a wide receiver. It's like
you might be right though, what you said there. If what's the number of great starts he has to have at the tail end of the regular season for that brain to toggle back to, okay, we do have to give it to Shohei. It's interesting. The one that's maybe the most fascinating of them all is AL Cy Young. Cam Schlittler is minus 170 to win the AL Cy. Dylan Cease of the Blue Jays plus 135. By the way, with the MLB futures draft that we did here, Matt Youmans, Danny did a whole
deep dive.
Matt Youmans has Schlittler at 50-1 in the futures draft. By virtue of that alone, he will win the futures draft.
It'll be
if Schlittler gets this. But here's the story. And I go back to the Tom Tango formula. You don't have to know this. But again, 32 out of the last 38 correctly identified eventual size. Innings pitched divided by 2 minus earned runs plus strikeouts divided by 10 plus wins. Again, you don't have to know the formula, but what the formula conveys is that ultimately, winners are most often judged by the most simple of stats, the baseball card stats, of wins, strikeouts, innings pitched, and earned runs. And all this other highfalutin stuff that we love to talk about doesn't necessarily factor in. Here's how the cookie crumbles with these two. Schlittler, 152 innings pitched. He's 10-6, Matt. Is a 2.19 ERA, 189 Ks, 31.4% K rate. He's given up 37 earned runs. Now, three of his last nine outings have not been that great. Cease, about 20 and two-thirds innings fewer. 7-5 win-loss record. So, in other words, three wins lower. 2.40 ERA. 0.21 worse, 191 Ks, which is actually two more Ks than Schlittler has, a higher K rate by almost 5%, 36.1%, and he's given up two fewer earned runs. He just had his first non-quality start since June, but he had near no hitters in San Francisco or Boston. And by the way, if you take his last, if you could take his last five road starts, Dylan Cease's last five road starts at Fenway, at Seattle, at Oracle in San Francisco, at Fenway again, and at Wrigley. 36 innings pitched, zero earned runs, 0.00 ERA, obviously. 11 hits given up, 49 Ks against 12 walks. Unfortunately, he also pitches at home, though.
Yeah, I lean towards Cease, but again, it is razor thin. I mean, the margin's just razor thin here.
The Tango numbers, just as a guideline, I know it's not the end-all be-all, but just as a guideline, I just mentioned that in the NL, the dominance of Mizorowski, it's Miz 75.5, Sanchez 66.9. Again, these ultimately have picked 32 of the last 38 sides. Do you know that it's wider in the AL? Which I found shocking. Schlittler, 67.9% using that formula. Innings pitched divided by 2 minus earned runs plus strikeouts divided by 10 plus wins. Schlittler, 67.9. Cease, 56.8. In other words, by the Tango numbers, it's not even close. But we are humans. And if Cease, in my opinion, you said the thing about Shohei. If Shohei came back and had 2 more great games on the mound, would it tilt back to Shohei? Cease flirted with a no-no in San Francisco, flirted with a no-no in Fenway. If he flirts with one more no-no or actually throws one, I don't care what Tango's numbers are. I think it tilts towards Cease. But he's got to do it again.
Yeah, I just, again, it's razor thin.
Yeah.
But you look, I mean, tiny little things here and there. Dylan Cease's BABIP against is a little bit higher than Schlittler's is. You know, like, I mean, there's things like that where I think could, if they really wanted to dig super deep, like I said, they don't stay with a little bit of surface with all this.
Going to be interesting how it goes. Right now, again, Schlittler minus 170, Cease plus 135. Everybody else, 28-1 or longer. The Sonny Grays and the Drew Rasmussens of the world. Adam Burke joins us next, right here on A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. VSiN Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with VSiN Pro.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Yes, indeed. Our VSiN Pro intro offer remains. Week 0 of college football almost here with the NFL regular season right behind it. Now's the time to get your edge with VSiN Pro. Join VSiN Pro today. Get instant access to both our college football and NFL betting guides packed with team previews, power ratings, proven betting systems, and best bets from VSiN's top analysts. And that's just the start. You'll also get daily best bets from VSiN hosts and guests, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, AI-powered prop tools and matchup analysis, plus 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app. Start today for just $9.99 or save 50% with a VSiN Pro annual subscription. Sign up now at VSiN.com/subscribe. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. Shrek McPhee has tweeted and he goes, seems like this isn't getting enough attention, Gil. CMC has missed his 7th consecutive practice with, quote, tightness, unquote. 2024 vibes, he says. Substation. Every time. Substation.
Yep.
Gotta be it. Paul Morphy. Not Murphy. Morphy. It was absolutely, she don't like it. Must have been a clean version released in the South. As opposed to Sharif. Talking about the Clashes. Rock the Casbah. And then Jeremiah Crow over at The Wind says, Electric Light Orchestra, Don't Bring Me Down. That the actual word is Grus that they say in that song. A made-up word. People think it's Bruce.
Ah.
A lot of those, man.
We just said a few that were just dumb.
Yeah. Yeah. Some of these are not dumb. Worth repeating. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, he's as ornery as ever because he thinks I'm going to talk schmack about his Guardians. It's Adam Burke, the glue that holds this whole operation together. You can follow him at Twitter or on Twitter at Skating Tripods. Adam, good morning, sir.
Hey, what's happening, boys? How we doing?
We're doing very well. Listen, I only had to wait 1.75 years for the Guardians to finally have a swoon. You hate this team, don't you? Tell them.
They're a remarkably hard watch. And honestly, I was thinking about it today. I think the worst thing about this season is how bad Travis Pezzano looks at the plate.
Yes, you love
him. You can't get 1-1 wrong. You just can't do it. And there's tons of development time left for him. But based on kind of the guys who were taken around him and based on how he looks here so far, the Guardians may have made the wrong pick there. And when you get gifted that spot as a team that doesn't spend any money whatsoever, you can't get that one wrong. And man, his Baseball Savant page does not look good.
Does not look good. You have a prop. Let's get to your picks first. You got a prop in this Marlins Phillies game?
Yeah, this one's actually gotten a little bit better since I wrote this one up here this morning. It's Jansen Junk of the Marlins over 1.5 walks allowed. This one's up out to plus 159 now. DraftKings, it was plus 151 when I wrote it up here this morning. Look, he's a guy who doesn't walk a whole lot of people, so it's understandable that this one's at plus money. But in six starts since coming off the IL, he has walked two plus guys in three of them. So 50% hit rate on this one right now. But look, you got Bryce Harper, Kyle Schwarber, Bryson Stott, all well above average walk rates against right-handed pitching. A guy who has a higher walk rate on the road, higher walk rate against left-handed batters on the road. You know, he just has a little bit more of a safety net at Lone Depot Park when he's pitching at home. I think maybe he nibbles a little bit here tonight. His zone percentage is down 4% on the road compared to at home. Going to be humid tonight in Philadelphia. Maybe some grip issues on the baseball. I think this one's worth a shot here tonight. Jansen Junk of the Marlins over 1.5 walks allowed. Now out to plus 159 out there at DraftKings.
We got a doubleheader today between the Cardinals and the Reds. Both teams, by the way, playing 8 games this week. So 8 game weeks for both of the Cardinals and the Reds. You are looking at the second game of the doubleheader.
Yeah, I typically don't like to play game two so far in advance because you never know what happens in game one, right? You don't know who's going to get hurt, what the bullpen usage may look like, stuff like that. But I wanted to jump on this one. This is a line that's actually gotten a little bit better, moved against me as well here. With Andre Pallant on the mound for the Cardinals tonight, Rhett Lauder going for the Reds. Couple of things here. I mean, this is largely anecdotal. I don't have any evidence to support this, but I would think it's easier to play a day-night doubleheader as the road team because what would you be doing anyway, right? You'd just kind of be chilling in the hotel or getting to the ballpark early or something like that. So I think a long day like this kind of favors the away team a little bit because the home team, you know, you got all the familial obligations when you're playing at home and stuff like that. But also, I just think big pitching advantage for the Cardinals in this game tonight. This is not the kind of guy that you want to face in Pallant in the second game of a doubleheader. Pitch to contact guy, very extreme ground ball rate, elite defensive team behind him. It's hard to string hits together after a long day. And that's what the Reds are going to be asked to do here tonight. Not to mention, I mean, the Cardinals should just be more engaged, right? I mean, you know, they're in the wild card hunt, 3.5 back starting play today. The Reds are 7 back, you know, run differential in the minus 80s. They're just not a very good baseball team. So I like the Cardinals here tonight. I don't really believe in Lauder's recent run here. Still has a double digit barrel rate over his last 4 starts, despite allowing only 2 earned runs in all 4 of them. Not really a big fan of him. And I just think, you know, the Cardinals have a deeper bullpen as well. You know, when you look at the context of a doubleheader. So I went ahead and took Arizona here, or excuse me, St. Louis here today in game 2 of this doubleheader in Cincinnati.
Adam Fenway, we have an interleague game between the Diamondbacks and the Red Sox. Red Sox famously won 27 of 30. Since then, they have lost 7 of 9. Ah, baseball, we love you. Diamondbacks, one game out, speaking of the wild card race in the NL. One game out on the outside looking in. What do you got today in this one?
Yeah, I'll lay it today with the Red Sox. I mean, I've never seen anything like the season that Brian Bello has had here for the Red Sox. 10.35 ERA as a starter in 35 and two-thirds. In 48 innings as a reliever, pitching in bulk relief, a 0.75 ERA.
That's amazing.
So I don't know like what the deal is with relieving for him. But he's certainly been much better in that role than he has been as a starter. Alec Gamboa is going to open here today for the Red Sox, but he's not like a traditional opener. He can actually go multiples if you want him to. So it's kind of a piggyback-ish type of situation here, you know, for the Red Sox. Arizona, another team that, you know, doesn't have a super, super high payroll. They love to use platoons and stuff like that. An opener kind of derails that a little bit with the lefty Gamboa, the righty and Bayo. But also, Mitch Pratt is staring down the barrel of a lot of negative regression here. This is a guy who does not have good strikeout to walk ratios, pitches to contact, doesn't miss a whole lot of bats. When he's not missing bats, he's missing the strike zone or hitting, you know, the meaty part of the bat. So I guess it's a good spot for the Red Sox to kind of bounce back a little bit here offensively against a guy that is going to a very good hitter's park. Not that Chase Field isn't, but, you know, climate controlled and all those kinds of things. For a guy who already has control and command issues, now going and pitching outdoors in a historically great offensive venue. I think it's a pretty tough spot here for Bratt. So I went ahead and laid this number with the Red Sox here today, up in that minus 135, minus 140 range.
Adam, you... Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I didn't want to switch gears. So if you have a baseball question, go.
I was going to say,
good to have you on as the proprietor here of our college football guide, as the AP poll has dropped, Gil.
Oh!
Our first AP poll, because, you know, we know how good these teams are before they've ever played a snap.
Very exciting.
Ohio State, Oregon, Georgia, Notre Dame, Texas, your top five. 40 first place votes for Ohio State, 14 for Oregon, none for Georgia, 6 for Notre Dame. You get to 6th where Indiana is. They get 8 first place votes, but are finish at 6th there in the poll to round out the top 10, Miami, A&M, Ole Miss, and Oklahoma. So we get first place votes for Ohio State, Oregon, Notre Dame, Indiana, Miami gets a first place vote as well. What do you think of preseason polls, buddy?
I think that, you know, it's kind of interesting to get sort of a lay of the land of what kind of the masses may end up thinking. You know, we know the people who take sports betting seriously and, you know, people who listen to us, people who follow us, people who work for us. We know the polls are pretty irrelevant. You know, they don't really matter, but they do matter to some people out there, kind of the more casual sports bettors. So maybe they will get kind of fooled at times into thinking the teams are better than they're going to be or something like that. I have Ohio State number one in the country by a half a point in my power ratings, Notre Dame number two, Oregon number three, Indiana four, Georgia five, tied with Texas. So, you know, that's kind of my top five here. But again, like you said, I mean, there's so much turnover in college football, and really it's all about how quickly these teams can gel, you know, if there's not a lot of continuity year in and year out. And that can be a really, really hard thing. I mean, Indiana historic season lost a lot of production, a lot of really, really talented players. And that's a program that's not really used to doing that. Ohio State is used to doing that. They're never surprised when they lose a bunch of top guys. They kind of bring back a lot more than you would think an Ohio State team would. So I get it. I understand the hype. I personally don't think Ohio State is going to wind up winning the Big Ten. But, you know, again, these polls are, they're going to change a lot over the first few weeks of the season for sure.
Do you have a Heisman thought or play for us, Adam, before the season starts?
You know, that's something I'm still kind of digging into. It's a market that, you know, obviously there's a lot of hype based on the guys who are coming back and maybe a lot less hype about the guys that we maybe don't know a whole lot about yet. And those are kind of the guys I like to look at, kind of the long shot prices that may get better as the season goes along, as opposed to, you know, holding my money for 6 months on a, you know, guy who's in the 7-1 range, something like that.
Yeah. CJ Carr of Notre Dame, the short shot heading into the season at 7-1. There's Arch. Arch Manning of Texas plus 750, Dante Moore of Oregon 11-1, and Darian Mintz of Miami at plus 1150. Everybody else 12-1 or longer, starting with Julian Sand, and there's Trinidad Chambliss hanging out at 13-1. Interesting thought there. Josh Hoover, of course, quarterbacking Indiana, also at 13-1 this season. Adam, appreciate it very much. Thank you so much.
Have a good one, boys.
Adam Burke, everybody, at Skating Tripod. Coming back on A Numbers Game right here.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
This is very interesting, this product right here. Most people think sports betting is about picking winners. Ungambled is built on a different idea, matched betting and arbitrage. It's a tool that teaches you how to use sportsbook bonuses and promotional offers to capture value, whether or not your side covers. And Ungambled backs it up. If you don't turn a profit on your bankroll in 8 weeks, they refund your membership. To learn more, start with the free guide at ungambled.com/vsin. That's ungambled.com/vsin. And use promo code VSIN for 10% off. Bet sharp, look square. Skill Alexander live from Circa Resort Casino. Matt Brown here as well. And what do you know? We have the creator, the founder of Ungambled on with us right now. Drew Tabor joins the program. Drew, good morning to you.
Morning. How are you?
I'm doing very well. I was talking a little bit with you off air about this. You must be very excited about the evolution of your product at this point.
Oh, yeah. This is going to be a big fall for us.
This is big. And how long has Ungambled been in existence?
So I started about 5 years ago. Obviously, sports betting was a relatively newly legalized in the U.S., and so it was kind of the Wild West when I started it. And it's a little more settled at this point. not fully settled, obviously, with prediction markets and stuff. But as far as FanDuel and DraftKings and MGM and the like are concerned, they're humming along pretty well at this point.
All right, mathematically proven hedging strategy, 100% legal, win with math, not luck. As I mentioned, you can get 10% off with code VSIN at ungamble.com/VSIN. So I'm going to just read this, which I read earlier, which is a math-backed platform and educational service that teaches sports bettors how to systematically extract profit from sportsbook sign-up bonuses and promotions through hedging while avoiding account bans. Talking about bonus hedging, account longevity, math-driven, as I mentioned. Can you tell me the moment? Maybe it was because you had an experience in your betting life where you where the light bulb turned on for you about this product.
So it was really my very first exposure to legal sports betting. A buddy of mine from college, this was the Super Bowl 2021. So I live in Virginia. Sports betting's been legalized for like a month at this point. He shows me, like, you sign up for DraftKings, you sign up for FanDuel, you bet opposite sides of the Super Bowl, and you walk away with, like, $500 cash. I was like, okay, I know what arbitrage is already. I've never seen it where you could do it for hundreds of dollars in a couple of hours, right? And so, to me, that was, you know, this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. The industry's brand new. There are no incumbents. Some of the other websites I looked at, and I was like, I know I can build a better website than this. And I basically took it and ran with it. And now here we are 5 years later.
So let me ask for like a specific example, because you said bonus hedging focuses on turning promotional offers and new user bonuses into guaranteed cash. We talk about that quite often, not every day, but we talk about it quite often on the show. Can you walk us through a specific example of that? So you get a bonus, then walk me through the monetization of that, if you would.
Right. So let's use an NBA game because there's no ties. It makes it more straightforward. So let's say you have a $1,000 bonus bet. You're going to bet that on the underdog and calculate your payout. Now you take that payout and you reverse engineer a cash stake at a different sports book. Okay. So what that means is you place down two bets on the opposite side of a game. Exactly one of them wins. Exactly one of them loses, and it doesn't matter which one wins, because whichever one wins, you're going to win enough money to cover both of your stakes plus a profit margin.
And
so that's the simple version of it. What we do is we do that over and over and over through all of the new account bonuses that the recreational sports books send you. And really the unique value of our product beyond what a lot of other services do is we calculate the bets to place such that the recreational sports books think your account is square, which means they send you even more bonuses, mm-hmm. and the bonuses are even higher value. And in a few cases, for our higher bankroll customers, we've been able to get their betting limits raised in the first 6 to 8 weeks or so.
I wish you tremendous luck with the product. Ungambled, again, is the name of the product. Ungambled.com is where you can find it. Drew, so you envision this, there you see on the screen on gamble.com/VSIN, 10% off with the code VSIN. You envision this targeting more sort of newish bettors, new bettors, recreational bettors, rather than the sharpest of the sharp who might know this already. Is that fair, or would this include the entire betting pool?
I would say it could target the entire betting community. The two demographics we're looking at that kind of have the most to gain are new better partner bettors. So you get your, you know, your wife's account, your sister's account, your mom's account, whatever it is. You run through all of them and you can make thousands, maybe low tens of thousands of dollars from all the bonuses. So that's sort of one demographic that has a lot of value. And the other ones are professionals or syndicates where they don't actually care about the bonus value. They just want to have their accounts profiled as square so that they can bet thousands of dollars a time on their EV bets.
All right.
And then the recreational gamblers kind of in the middle. We haven't found a great way to serve yet, but we're sort of keeping that back of mind for now.
Drew, really good luck with this, and we'll help in any way we can, starting with a 10% off with code VSIN again. Ungambled.com/VSIN. Thank you so much for joining the show, Drew.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Drew Tabor, everybody. Courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line, ungambled.com. We get tweets beating the book. This is from Rucky Panda. Could you get Jensen Lewis on to discuss the getaway day games. I have so many questions. We've actually talked to Jensen about this on this show because obviously he played the game at the highest level, was the closer for the Indians at the time. It's always fascinating because I always ask him about stuff like pitchers who have a lack of run support historically or have great run support. Thing, not a thing. Like all these baseball matters of lore that you hear as fans or as bettors, any truth or wisdom to it. So next time Jensen is on, I will happily talk to him about that. Jensen Lewis, co-host of By the Books, which precedes us here with Dave Ross. Freedom, Kyle Manship 5. Thanks, guys. All I've been singing for the past 2 hours is Sharif don't like it. Sorry about that. That's going to happen. An iHeart SEC podcast. If you don't follow the SEC, bet college football, and just want a better idea of what to expect this season, he says, check out my podcast, the iHeart SEC podcast. Well, I tell you what, iHeart SEC, Wyatt Tomczyk, our buddy, has us getting in this SEC Survivor pool. I'm very pumped for that. Yeah.
Really?
No. I think you have to pick like two SEC games a week. Hey, maybe get Matt
Guess
Brown
what?
On the
another
email.
Thing I wasn't invited about. I mean, this is
and
another thing I
actually attended
invited
an SEC school.
Another thing I wasn't invited to. Yeah, the interesting thing, I guess, Jensen obviously has friends that play with her. Jensen was a reliever, so I think it's a little bit different than kind of what we're doing with the handicapping here, which we're kind of like, it's just these starters, I would imagine, like you get off your clock, you get off your thing that you're normally doing, you know, and all of that. And, but I'm, you know, obviously he's talked to guys in the bullpen as to like, hey man, you hate day games? And they're probably like, yeah, I hate day games. Or doesn't bother me, whatever it is, you know, something like that.
Did you have any quirks?
Well, it's different when you're younger, because like you just play whenever. They just play whenever the fields are, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. It's basically like stuff like that, right? So you don't get in a rhythm where these guys like, it's typically, you know, your 705s, you know, over and over and over and over and over again. And you're just like, okay, I'm going to be ready by 5 o'clock, you know, whatever and all that. So
what is your, you are a grad of LSU. I assume you graduated, man. Yeah. An alumnus of LSU.
Oh, I have some news for you too.
So. Oh, well, I was going to ask you, what is your prognosis on LSU this year?
Yeah, maybe this is like my heart talking, but I mean, if you go and you look in at just the roster, now the sum of the parts still has to play out on the field, but they went and spent $1 jillion in the pool, you know, I mean, went and bought every transfer basically that you can.
Wow.
Number one offensive lineman, several top 10 defensive players, all this. Again, they've got to gel on the field and they've got to put it together then, but the actual talent on the field should be there. And as long as Sam Leavitt, who again, they say is healthy, is looking like the Sam Leavitt when he was at Arizona State, you know, the good year, not the bad year they got hurt. They should be able to, if you believe in Lane Kiffin and being able to kind of rally the troops and things like that, they should, I think, be able to compete. And, you know, I mean, it's the SEC though still, and they're going to play tough games week in, week out, and it's going to be very tough to make it through. But I will say this.
Playoff team or not?
I would say this. If they don't make the playoffs, it will be... Actually, I think it will be like a bad season. Like, I think it will be viewed as a disaster the money that they spent and all the things that they brought in and all that is going to be terrible. So your San Francisco Giants, this is according to Jeff Passan.
Uh-huh.
They are calling up left-hander Matt Tugboat Wilkinson.
Oh, that's exciting.
Matt Tugboat Wilkinson. He is, he's given up just 59 hits in 90 innings.
That's good.
Down in the minors. That's very down in the minors. Struck out 96 over those 90, but Tugboat's coming up.
They could use some good news.
Tugboat is some good news for sure.
Yeah. I don't know if this Buster Posey thing's going to work out or
you're
not.
You're back here. You're going to miss out on Tugboat bobblehead night.
Yeah.
You know, you could have gone to Tugboat bobblehead night.
I'll tell you what's definitely not working out. The Tony Vitello thing is not working out. Anyway, thanks to Drew Tabor for stopping by from Ungambled as well. Wish him luck with the product. We will come back. We will recap the bets. By the way, the one tennis play that has gone off already is Thiago Agustin Tirante. He won the first set in a tiebreaker, so we're up a set in that one for those who played along. We shall see. The other plays later in the day, we'll recap all those next on A Numbers Game right here at VSiN.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on A Numbers Game, live from Circa Resort, downtown Las Vegas. Gil Alexander, Matt Brown in the hat, in the hizzy.
15 more minutes. They didn't kick me off the desk for this for the show.
You are back here on Wednesday.
On Wednesday. There's a gap.
Sorry about that.
It's yeah.
So we had the Beating the Book podcast Q3 thing already happening.
Well, yeah, and then there was the I mean, I was always on the schedule with a gap. So there's a gap. I'll be back in on Wednesday.
You're the gap guy.
Yeah.
Let's see here. Let's update the tennis plays. Three tennis plays. As I said earlier, Thiago Agustin Tirante won the first set against Martin Landaluce. I believe is how you pronounce that. On serve in the second set, -134 favorite. Let's see if we can't get that home.
Forever known as TAT now.
TAT, as Matt dubbed him earlier.
TAT.
Is FAA, what was the, who was the golfer that you guys tried to make a thing? And I, on primetime action, I was like, nobody's going to know that. EVR or something like that?
Oh, yes, yes. Eric Van Rooyen. Yes, yeah. EVR.
Like, that's not going to work, guys.
The TAT's not going to work. No. But, you know, it's, we can for today. Just for today.
He just can for today. Yeah, TAT. TAT, get home for us. Two on the ladies' side coming up. Clara Towson. I don't know. Maybe she started already. +203 versus Linda Noskova. Towson's a big dog in that one, but I don't understand that price. That has not started yet. And the one that's about to start, I believe, next, Sorana Kirsteia, who is a slight favorite against Anna Kalinskaya. I actually haven't checked how these have moved, and I probably should, because yesterday, as I mentioned, in a very bad day of tennis, which took a while for that to happen, but it did yesterday, had one move over 50 cents in our favor, doesn't get home. The big CLV ones, it just seems like they never get home.
It's the feeling too good about ourselves because we're like, ha, got on top of that one.
Yeah.
Look at that.
Yeah,
and then it's just like, ah, oh, never mind.
Not good. By the way, like, you know. Iga to win the U.S. Open. She wins Toronto. Iga unlocked 7-1. Get it.
She is currently tied with Sakari. She loses the first set 4-6, wins the second one 6-1 like she normally does. You know, it's like, I'll drop this first one and then come back and just pound you in the second one.
She good.
Yeah.
She good. By the way, Towson +202, still playable. You even get a couple of, a penny worse than I got, so it's right there. Kirsteia's -130. Yeah, that one moved a bunch. I would not play it at -130. I'd play -125 highest on Sorana Kirsteia. You, sir, you had a couple baseball plays.
Yeah, so we're going to play the over in the Pirates game here against the Detroit Tigers. This is Framber Valdez going up against Carmen Majimski. This is two guys that are really, really struggling here over the last month and a half. I mean, we're talking not just bad numbers, we're talking really, really bad numbers. These are over, like, both guys over 11% walk rates, both guys sub 16% K rates. These are things that you just can't get away with in the majors for very long. And with it only being an 8, I mean, we could be looking at one of these teams getting 6 or 7 runs off of one of these guys alone. So, like that one a ton, giving up tons of hard contact, specifically with Majimski, we talked about 55% hard contact over his last 5 starts.
Just, we could do that.
Yeah, a dude that literally they put him into the bullpen because they didn't have room for him anymore, and then now with the injuries, they have to pull him back out of here. So didn't really want him to be in the rotation as was anyway. Take the over 8 on that. And then me and Greg Peterson here on the Braves at -120 over the Twins. Now, that number, a few pennies here and there, in our favor, but I mean, it's still bettable. I think at FanDuel was like 123. I think we said something like that, but Martin Perez, pretty good here over the last month and a half. His stats are way better in the over. I know, dude, I don't even get it. Martin
I was
Perez.
Betting on Martin Perez, dude, in like 2012.
I don't even get it. It's like, so the season long ERA is sub 3, but it's like, it's back to about like a 3.8, which again is nothing to sneeze at in today's Major League Baseball. But then the last 5 starts, a 108 with a 3.04, a solid whip with a 1 even whip. I mean, there's a lot of things to like here about Perez going up against this Minnesota team. So like the Braves as short favorites here on the road.
All right, maybe 2013. Maybe I didn't do the first year. Greg Peterson, as you mentioned, his Fab 5 on the show today. By the way, all of Greg's picks, like all of our picks, every host, every guest, every sport, at VSiN.com/picks for subscribers. It pays to subscribe. Greg's Fab 5. He's on the Orioles Rays over 7.5. The Orioles going for the 4-game sweep of the Rays, who were getting fat in Sacktown off the Athletics, and they came back, played a real baseball team, not so much. He's on the over 7.5 in the Birds-Rays game today. Then the Mets, he's on the Mets versus the Padres. Both teams having really good months. Padres having the best month in August at 11-4, atop the standings in the month of August. But the Mets, going nowhere, looking good of late. He's on the Mets. Braves, like with Matt, he is on the Braves. Greg is -120 versus the Twinkies. Under in the Chicago battle today, north side, south side. actually, other way around, south side, north side, between the White Sox and the Cubs, under 8.5 for Greg. And then he's on the Rockies run line, +1.5, +140 versus the Doyers. Today's game between those two squads. Wes Reynolds, he's on Quinn Matthews, over 13.5 outs recorded in game one of the Cardinals-Reds doubleheader today. This is a five-game set beginning with a doubleheader today between the Cardinals and the Reds. And then finally, Adam Burke was on with us. He's got Jansen Junk over 1.5 walks, +151 for the Marlins today. And then he is on the Cardinals at the Reds, but he is going with game two in that doubleheader, the rare game two play from anybody. And then Red Sox, -140 at Fenway today versus the Diamondbacks. Playoff implications for both clubs in that one. Only 6 weeks left in the season. Before we go today, I wanted to ask you, because you are part of the brains. Can I say this? Part of the brains behind the Survivor documentary series?
Sure.
Circus Survivor, sure. The quest for $18.7 million. We are, what, through four episodes now?
We are through four. Seven total. So
episode five is released
every Wednesday, 9 Eastern for the rest of the season here. And so it is, yeah, I mean, we're getting into the real of it now, right? Because we've really shed a bunch of the entries. This is where people start to look at things and start to see like, okay, do I actually have a path to get this done? And you and I both know how things end up with
everybody
with
has a plan
with every, yes,
until you got punched in the face.
Yeah. So, yeah. You know, for those that don't remember, I won't spoil it or anything, but yes, I mean, there was a lot of people who were feeling very, very good for a hot minute. And then, things just absolutely go sideways.
Yeah. How many, you personally play these as well, by the way, there it is. Watch live on VSiN, new episodes every Wednesday, 9 p.m. Eastern, as Matt said, or watch all the episodes at VSiN YouTube channel.
They're quick watches, by the way. So if you're down these episodes, I mean, they're 22 minutes. So yeah, you can just watch them on a treadmill or something like that.
Where are you in terms of your personal entries into all of these contests now?
Yeah. I mean, I did 10 last year. I'll probably do 10 again this year.
For which, Survivor?
Yeah. Yeah.
What about millions?
I do one. No.
That's how I am with millions.
I got to the point where I understand it's a contest, and so like I've got to get, I have to change my mindset, but like, you know, and we've done tons of programming together. I'm not a volume better, right? Like I bet the bets that I like, and I'll bet them pretty heavily, but like
you're not a feast or famine.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. I'm not a volume better. You're never going to tune in and I have nine bets on nine different games where it was very tough for me to find five games a week that I liked, you know? And then, if I had two, I had three, 1 year, and I was like, this is absurd. And then I went down to two. And even then, I'm like, okay, so now I'm just basically playing the three games I like and then tossing a coin on these other two and both of these other entries. And so I do one for content. You know, I'm just not very good. I like the things that I'm good at, don't necessarily like the things that I'm not good at. And I'm not good at this. I mean, I'm 2-3, 3-2 every single week. And that's the worst place to be, is dead middle, right? I mean, that's absolutely terrible. So not very good at the contest.
Well, you're not alone with that. That's honest. I'm curious, does the documentary, as we move on, putting you on the spot here with this, but I'm just curious, does it get into, as the winners cross the finish line towards the end, I don't want to give away anything, obviously, the contest has already happened, but there are these big, right, it's more out there than it used to be. They've existed, but now it's like really out there that you have poker players, you have syndicates that have tons of entries. And some of those, not all of them, right, some of them crap out even if they have 150 entries. Yeah. But a couple of them get across the finish line. Does that get mentioned at all in the documentary? Does that get dealt with at all?
Yeah, well, you start to talk to the people, certainly, that are involved and all the stuff like that. And honestly, we get into the monetization of the process, too, a little bit. Because, I mean, it's, like I said, it's not like it's a secret or something like that. So you gotta talk about it, you know? And I honestly, the other thing is, and I'm sure you guys talk about it here on the show a ton, is you get that deep and Derek is more than happy to open you up. You want to walk down there and you want to hedge all of this and stuff like that. He's more than happy to do it. And so we can get into that too, you know, because that's a real part of it. Once you get that deep in the contest of like, I'm not leaving here empty handed, right? Like I can't get to this point and leave here empty handed.
But it's amazing. Cause I don't know about every year, but at least we know of people like at least 2 years ago, I remember, and you covered it in the documentary where they're like, no, I'm not hedging. I'm just going.
Shocking to me, right?
I'm flying the airplane into the wall or above it, whichever happens.
When you see how silly these NFL games end up sometimes,
oh my
too,
God.
To think that you're like not walking away with at least six figures, right? You got to walk away with at least six.
Derek Stevens, who of course is the these contests are the brainchild of, he says they are ahead of pace on all of these this year. Talking millions. By the way, I'm amazed that people track this from like August 23rd last year. We were it's amazing, but they are ahead of actual not Derek, but the actual people covering survivors. But they're ahead of pace on all these. So looking forward to another great year of all the contests here at Circa. We've done all we can do. Thank you, Matt. Prop Appreciate points it. Is next.